Heatwave conditions gripped much of Australia again yesterday. In a band from the Kimberley in the northwest through central Australia and down much of the east coastline. Halls Creek in WA, Rabbit Flat, Tennant Creek, Alice Springs in the Northern Territory, Wilcannia and Cobar in New South Wales all smashed early October temperature records. In fact, 42.6 degrees recorded at Alice Springs enters the record books as the hottest October day ever for the Alice. This continuing run of extreme heat comes after the hottest Australian summer on record and a record-breaking winter too. Climate scientist Sarah Perkins has been looking at the history of heat waves since the 1950s. She joins us from Greenhouse 2013, where she's presenting her research later today. Sarah Perkins, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Good morning to you too.
Are we experiencing more heat waves in Australia?
Well, certainly throughout the last 60 or so years, there has been an increasing trend towards more heat waves.
How do we define what a heat wave is?
Well, generally for a heat wave to occur, you have to have a period of consecutive days above a particular threshold, an extreme threshold. So when I measure heat waves, I look at three or more days in a row that's above what we call the 90th percentile. So this is basically for a day to reach the 90th percentile, it only has a 1 in 10 chance of that occurring.
Okay, so it's not just one hot day, it's 3 days in a row at least constitutes a heat wave.
Yes.
So in Sydney, there was a very hot day yesterday, but that's not a heat wave because it's dropped today.
No. It was certainly definitely above that threshold, but in order for it to be a part of a heatwave, it would have had to be in between another 2 days or starting a heatwave itself.
So if the comparison is 60 years, how many heatwave events were we getting in 1950 compared to now?
Well, in 1950, it was really anywhere between 1 to 2 heatwaves a year, and this, of course, varies from year to year due to natural variability in the climate system. Now it's about 2 to 4 heatwaves a year, so we have seen a trend over that 50 years towards more events, definitely.
I'm no expert here, but that doesn't sound like much of an increase from 1 to 3 50 years ago to 60 years ago to 2 to 4 today.
No, the numbers I'm talking about here are average numbers within those two time blocks. So some years you could get, 5 or so, depending where you are in the country. But they also, you have to remember that heat waves have quite significant impacts on human health, infrastructure, biodiversity, crops and everything. So even just a small increase in these events can have quite huge impacts on many different people and systems.
Can you tell us a bit more about that? I mean, in Australia, I think in recent summers in particular, in South Australia, in the capital city of Adelaide, they've had what I think would qualify as a heatwave event, and there's been a lot of alarm about the effect on older people. Can you just tell us some of these health impacts you're talking about more generally?
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to human health, as you mentioned, the elderly and generally the people who are more sick are affected by quite high heat conditions. Particularly when it comes to human health, it's actually nighttime temperatures that play an important role. So we need nighttime temperatures to kind of reboot our system, if you will, so then we can prepare and cope with the heat for the next day.
Mm.
So that's how human health can be affected. And with the heat wave in Melbourne a few years ago, the train tracks actually buckled through that event. So there's a problem there with infrastructure as well. So if we're seeing more of these intense events that could even last for longer, we need to build our buildings and our train tracks and infrastructure to be able to stand these hot events.
So it has a real concrete impact on policy, national policy. Is that a trademark of the heat wave that you mentioned, the nighttime temperature drop, which often happens on a hot day, but it can be hot again the next day? If it's a heat wave event, is that one of the elements of it, that the intensity really doesn't drop off even in the evening?
Yeah, that's certainly something that we consider when we look at heat waves, definitely.
So you, I know, have looked at Australia and the globe more broadly over the past 60 years. What regions are being affected in this way?
Well, certainly Australia. So we've seen an increase in the number and intensity of heat waves and the number of heat wave days. And over parts of Europe, they've certainly seen an increase too. And I'm sure a lot of people can remember the 2003 heat wave and the Russian heat wave. So they're certainly part of those increases that we've seen. Some parts of North America have seen increases in the number of events as well.
It's 9:25 on Breakfast. Our guest is Dr. Sarah Perkins from the ARC Centre of Excellence for Climate System Science at the University of New South Wales. Sarah, you've been using one model as you study these climate records to project what could happen in the future. And I think you've only just started this work in Australia, but you say preliminary results from that modelling are quite concerning. Why? What is showing up?
Yeah, well, as you said, they are preliminary results, so I have to spend more time on really nussing out the story behind these projections. But basically it shows that the increases that we've seen in the last 60 years are going to get even worse by the end of this century. So maybe by the middle of this century, we might be seeing heat waves of about 4 to 6 events per year, and towards the end, it could reach up to 8 to 10 events per year. So I think that's quite concerning.
Well, that's a significant increase. I mean, we talked about 60 years ago being 1 to 3. If we're up to 8 to 10, the biggest takeout from that, or the biggest concern, would be the health impact, yes?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, health impacts, even agriculture. I've been learning at this conference, actually, that wheat crops have a very, very, very sensitive temperature at about 32 degrees or so. So if they are exposed to temperatures above that, it only takes a couple of hours for those crops to die off. So now, we're seeing more intense events.
Okay, yeah. So just finally, we're talking modelling. Are we talking inevitability? I mean, is this what we all need to be prepared for with any certainty?
Well, I would think so. As I said, this is only one model, and it is work that I've really only looked at the past couple of weeks. But we're seeing this mean increase. That's certain. That's what we know is going to happen. And it's small changes in the mean which drive large changes in extreme events. So to see this big jump, although it's concerning, I'm not really that surprised.
Sarah Perkins, thank you very much for joining us.
That's all right. My pleasure. Thanks, Fran.
Dr. Sarah Perkins from the ARC Centre of Excellence for Climate System Science at University of New South Wales. And she's speaking later today at the Greenhouse 2013 conference in Adelaide.